This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. North Carolina coaching legend Dean Smith died this weekend. As a coach for the Tar Heels men's basketball team, he won two national championships. His trademark four corners offense frustrated opponents, and his 879 wins were the most in Division I basketball history when he retired. But his friends and family and his players often point to what he did off the court as a sign of who Dean Smith was. He graduated 96% of his players, and he was referred to them as a second father by many.
They call themselves the Carolina family. I didn't plan that, but they're really good people, and I think they all like me now. They might not like me when I played, so I don't know whether that's a legacy, but I am very proud of all of them.
His competition also recognized Smith's leadership. Coach Mike Krzyzewski, a rival at Duke, the Duke Blue Devils, knew Smith and what he meant to his players.
The intense loyalty that you feel towards him is something that I've admired since I first started coaching. It is really one of the great things in sport, the intense loyalty of the Tar Heel players for Coach Smith. I applaud you.
Mike Krzyzewski now has the title of the winningest men's basketball coach nearly 20 years after Dean Smith retired. When Dean Smith did leave the court for the last time, loyalty once again came up as the theme of his career.
Thanks to Frank McGuire and a great friend and Chancellor Aycock, I was able to come. Thanks to my players, I was able to stay. They didn't fire me. What loyalty I've had, any man from my players over there. They're really special.
Well, as we said, it is well known to anyone who has lived in this area for any length of time, Dean Smith's prowess as a basketball innovator, a coach, and a motivator on the court. Dean Smith was also the first to racially integrate the UNC men's basketball team. And with the guidance of his pastor, Dean Smith helped integrate a Chapel Hill restaurant in 1964. Reverend Robert Seymour was Dean Smith's friend and spiritual leader at Binkley Baptist Church in Chapel Hill, and he joins me now in the State of Things. Reverend Seymour, welcome.
Thank you.
First, accept my condolences. I know you were very close friends, and this is a deep loss. I'm very sorry.
We were good friends over a half century.
Well, tell us, Dean Smith often talked about doing things the Carolina way and having a Carolina family. What does the Carolina way mean for people who knew him off the court?
Well, I first would like to insist that I knew him primarily as a man and not as a coach. And he always said over and over again, only a game, it's only a game. As a man away from the coaching job, he was a man of integrity and respected everyone, was always gracious to people, and had a way of making everyone to whom he spoke feel very important. Dean was blessed by having grown up in a Christian home, had a sister who went to seminary. So it is not surprising that when he came to Chapel Hill, one of the first things he did was to seek out a church. And that turned out to be the Binkley Memorial Baptist Church, and I had just arrived there when Dean and his family joined the congregation.
Tell me about that first meeting.
Well, of course, I did not know who he was, and of course, at that stage, most people in Chapel Hill did not know the name of Dean Smith. He had come as an associate coach, and he joined our church, and we immediately asked him if he would be chair of the Student Affairs Committee. We were worshiping on the UNC campus. We were a small group, but we had a significant number of African Americans in the congregation. This was at a time before integration of Chapel Hill. But Dean saw that segregation needed to go, and we gave him several assignments, which you have just mentioned. One, to go out and find the best black basketball player he could find and recruit him for Carolina. And the other was to go with me and a black student to the Pines restaurant and see if they would open the door and comply with the new public accommodations law. And, of course, seeing Dean at that door, they did open it. because this was where the all-white basketball team frequently had meals.
You know, you tell that story now, and it sounds, you know, sort of in some ways that was the trajectory of history. We know how it was going. How difficult was it at that time for a man of Dean Smith's stature to take that kind of a position? It seems to me it would have been easy for the coach to say, look, that's politics. It's not my business. I'm a basketball coach. He didn't do that.
Well, that's true. Dean was always quite willing to go public with his convictions. He was a person of some courage. I don't know of another coach who would have done what he did. He publicly was against the death penalty. He was active in the civil rights movement. He stood for nuclear disarmament. He affirmed gays and lesbians. He knew that the gospel had a social dimension, looking for justice everywhere. And he was known not only for his basketball playing, but known for his person as a man.
He was a success as a basketball coach, and he also graduated 96% of his players. There were the pressures were no fewer. The scandals certainly are in the headlines today, but the pressures, I don't think, were any less on coaches and athletic departments to turn out athletes and not so much scholars. To what extent do you think his integration of his spiritual and religious beliefs played a part in his success? I mean, he did all these things, and he was a great coach. Is that coincidental, or do you think there's some relationship?
Oh, I'm sure there's some relationship. Every now and then he would call me and say, give me a quotation from Martin Luther King that I can share with my players today. He was always teaching them values and the faith and social concerns. And I think he had an almost fraternal feeling toward his players. And as you have indicated, the thing that he was most proud of was the players that were able to receive an education and graduate.
We are remembering Dean Smith today on The State of Things. Reverend Robert Seymour is with me, Dean Smith's pastor at Binkley Baptist Church. You and Dean Smith were part of a group, People of Faith Against the Death Penalty. Again, rare for sports icons to speak as candidly as he did. Did he ever talk to you about the pressure that he received, pressure not to get involved in these kinds of things?
The only time he had some hesitation was when the widow of Arthur Ashe asked him to accept the award for courage. And his response was, no, I don't feel like I'm courageous. I'm just doing what I think is right.
Tell me about his effect on your congregation, again, off the court. What impact did he have on that congregation?
He was highly respected by everyone. He was there every Sunday that he was in town. He had a remarkable gift for remembering names. People who had not been in the congregation for years would return. He would call them by name and the names of their children. It was awesome the way he was able to greet people. And he was so gracious in all of his personal relationships.
How about after he retired? Did he remain active? Tell us a little bit about his life after retirement.
He has been in the church in a wheelchair for ever since he became ill. His absence was keenly noted about 3 weeks ago, and we discovered that he was having some serious concerns and knew that his condition was worsening.
What do you think is his legacy?
Well, I think his legacy will be with us for a long, long time. I think that it's needed today more than ever before as we see professional sports attacked for many different things. Dean is an emblem of what athletics ought to be. A game. It's only a game. And one has a life beyond that, and it is the quality of that life that counts for more than what happens on the court.
Reverend Seymour, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're certainly welcome.
Reverend Robert Seymour was Dean Smith's pastor at Binkley Baptist Church in Chapel Hill. Coach Smith died this weekend at the age of 83. Just ahead, we're going to meet North Carolina storyteller Ray Christian on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.